Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Career 360, hosted by Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister for Finance Heng Swee Keat unveiled Budget 2020 yesterday. The much-anticipated speech included measures targeted at dealing with short-term challenges like the impact of the COVID-19 coronavirus disease 2019. And these included a $4 billion stabilisation and support package to help firms with their cash flow and retain workers, and a $1.3 billion payout to local workers to help them stay employed during the COVID-19 outbreak. But as Budget 2020 also aims to resolve prevailing manpower concerns like job retention, mid-career switching, and the nation's talent strategy, will these measures be enough? Well, we speak with Heng Chee Hao, Deputy Secretary General NTUC, to find out more. Mr. Heng, there were expectations before its release that the Budget 2020 will provide fresh impetus to programs aimed at retooling and growing number of retrenched workers of the old economy with skills that would make them employable in the emerging technology-driven business landscape. Would you say that it's done that?
Well, good afternoon. The budget, when it was originally conceived, that is before we had to face the virus situation, was definitely going to be very much focused on the continued economic transformation. So within that economic transformation, the skills upgrading across all sectors, across all segments of workers, and across all ages will continue to get major focus. So the question really was that with the situation surrounding the virus that we are facing now, would there be a distraction from this long-term need to continue to restructure the economy and transform the work skills of our workforce? And you can see very clearly from the budget that the finance minister delivered yesterday that, in fact, it balances both ways. So there are aspects of the budget aimed squarely at stabilizing the situation concerning the virus, but at the same time not taking the eye off the continued upgrading of skills for the longer term. And so that is very much also in focus within the other parts of the budget.
Talk to us about the Skills Future Mid-Career Support Package. How will it double the annual job placement of locals, those in their 40s and 50s, to around 5,500 by 2025?
Well, in order to do that, first of all, proof that the effort to continue to transform the work skills is part of the focus of the budget. Then the question is, you want to double that, then how are you going to double that? First of all, there is the opportunity, shall I call it that way, that arises out of the situation that we are now facing. Because when times are good, frequently you will hear that companies will say that there are orders to fulfill, they really don't have the kind of time to send enough workers for training. And similarly, workers will tell you that maybe there are opportunities for earning overtime, so really the opportunity cost of leaving that behind and going for training is a bit tough. So in a situation that we are facing now where across various sectors that is slowing down, therefore the capacity for people to be released for training is there. And we have to then work on both the demand and the supply side to make that happen. So the easier thing is actually to ramp up the capacity for training. In other words, how many training places can you offer in order for the larger number of students, let's say 5,500, to attend the classes and be suitably qualified. I think that's not the most difficult. It is just a question of logistics arrangements and finding the trainers and scheduling. Then on the other side, you have to also create the demand. So here, the stabilization package and other aspects of the budget provides for that. Specifically to the Skills Future Mid-Career Support Package, there is a special Skills Future credit top-up for Singaporeans aged 40 to 60 in the year 2020, an additional $500 on top of the new $500 across-the-board Skills Future Next Lab top-up. So in other words, for Singaporeans aged 40 to 60, there is going to be a $1,000 Skills Future credit top-up. And in addition, there is going to be a hiring incentive for employers who hire local job seekers who are aged 40 and above through these reskilling programs. So when you put it all together, then this part ramps up the demand, and then the other side, you enhance the supply. And in the current environment, where there is more time that can be used for training, then I think it will happen.
Well, Finance Minister Heng also mentioned how when this group started work, I mean, it was normal, even celebrated to kind of stay with one job in one company for life. As enterprises restructure, the nature of jobs has changed, but it doesn't seem like mindsets have changed. What more do you think can be done to help this group with that aspect?
Well, actually, I'll be more optimistic than that. I would say that if you look at the expenditure on training, either expenditure by individuals or expenditure by companies, it has been increasing over the years. In terms of training places that have been offered across different types of domains and categories of subjects, that has also diversified and increased. So I think the willingness to take up training and go for training has improved over the years. That said, this is not something that you can do for a period and then declare victory and say that I'm set for life. That's because technology keeps changing, knowledge keeps changing, and at an ever faster rate as well. So lifelong learning, it is not just a philosophy, it is a necessity. So, and we can already see that it is beginning to happen. I mean, it has improved in terms of our tendency towards wanting to go for training, but we'll have to continue on this journey.
Can you also tell us why did Budget 2020 focus on this particular segment of the workforce?
I would say that if you look at it, the young people who are coming out of school, the school system teaches them the very latest. So in terms of, for example, in technology, in terms of the what you expect in industry, they are more likely to be ready for it, or the gaps will be smaller. Whereas for middle-aged and older employees, they would have left school many years ago, and depending on what they have done with themselves or whether the companies have actually invested in them, then they may or may not have upgraded. So the gaps for some of them could actually be larger. And in a increasingly uncertain labor market and operating environment, therefore, they are at greater risk of skills obsolescence and they may lose their employability more easily, and then they will find regaining employment more difficult. So investing in them to help them accelerate and be on par with the younger people, it is a good thing to do.
Well, we're speaking to Heng Chee Hao, Deputy Secretary General of the Labour Movement, NTUC, right here at Money FM 89.3. Well, Singapore firms remain weak in their ability to retain talent, with the 2019 Global Talent Competitiveness Index ranking Singapore after United Arab Emirates and Spain at 26 globally. Why do Singapore firms struggle with this, and what out of Budget 2020 helps in this regard?
I think in the economic space that we are operating in, where we are going to make a good living out of being innovative, out of being creative, out of being high-end and so on, the secret ingredient that would distinguish those who are more successful versus those who are less, economy versus economy, ultimately will be talent. So the question is that how you attract and develop and retain talent becomes very crucial. And it is not just a question of how much you pay. I suppose remuneration would be one consideration. Whether your city is livable is one consideration. But within the company, I think really your HR processes, your entire philosophy of talent development, whether your job processes, your job descriptions, your job projects, whether they are actually challenging, and whether or not the entire corporate culture is one that is innovation-driven and where the employees are able to contribute towards that. I think all those kinds of things helped to attract talent, because when they go to a place, when talent look at, there's a place where talent gather, then that place itself becomes more attractive. So we must try to build this virtuous cycle. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to do that is indeed to maximize our ability to realize the full potential of Singaporean talent as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the jobs support scheme will see the government support all active employers for 3 months in retaining their local employees. Will this be enough, especially if the COVID-19 outbreak situation doesn't improve by then?
So this job support scheme is part of the stabilization and support program announced yesterday. So what it does is that it gives wage support to, it's a wage subsidy to employers, which is 8% of wages. This is significant, 8% support. And why is it 3 months? My take would be that we really don't know how quickly this situation might go away or how long it might take. So if you look at the SARS situation, for example, then it ended after several months, and then there was a very, very sharp upturn. It's a V-shaped recovery. Will it happen this time? We do not know. It's possible. or then again, it may not happen. So I think what has been announced is something that is tangible for the immediate. The companies can see the relief, they can feel it. And at the same time, I think there's no presumption that this will go on without end. So I think it is something that can be taken step by step.
Mm-hmm. Well, Minister Heng also announced enhancements to the wage credit scheme, which supports wage increases for local workers. How significant is the enhancement? And will it be enough to help the labour landscape momentum, or is it just a stopgap measure?
I think in the current situation across many sectors, the pressure that employers face is poorer business and cash flow problems in some cases. So in other words, where am I going to find the money? And if I were to hold on to my employees and if I were to also give the wage increases of some kind, then that adds to my cost pressure. So the idea is really to say that standing on the side of caring for workers, then the government is actually saying that, you know, if you are the older worker, and we had earlier already announced that next year we are also going to have an enhancement in the employers' CPF contribution rates, for example, and every year employers who are doing okay, we do expect them to also be fair to the workers and reward them with increases and bonuses as appropriate to the company's performance. So in all fairness, that should happen if the company is in a position to do that. But in order to help the company in this overall environment, then the government steps forward and says that, okay, now I help to bear part of your wage increase, the cost resulting from a wage increase if you in a position to give a wage increase. So again, that lessens the burden. So how does the government do that? There's already a wage credit scheme. So what the government is going to do this round is it's going to expand the eligible salary threshold for this from 4,000 previously to 5,000. So a larger group of workers would come within this definition, and therefore the companies will benefit from greater support in that sense, even as they reward their workers and look after their workers. And also the government's share of the wage increase is also going to increase.
Mm-hmm. And on a personal note, Mr. Heng, how would you use your additional skills future credits?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the second tranche of the Skills Future credits. I've already looked up some of the courses. I think they're very, very interesting. So, for example, courses in cybersecurity, data analytics, risk management, they all look very interesting to me.
Okay, we'll be talking to Mr. Heng Chee Hao, Deputy Secretary General of NTUC and Senior Minister of State for Ministry of Defence on Money FM 89.3. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.